This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. I had a witty intro written, but then Notepad took an error 37 to the intro. Plus, you might be playing a game owned by the state of Rhode Island soon. Tonight is May 20th, 2012, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Ake Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
See what I did there? I took last year's big popular game and the annoying meme and made it about this year's popular game. Hello, everybody. And welcome to, I guess, a non-witty edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. For some reason, this is actually episode 337. There's a joke in there somewhere. I don't know. In a row? Have I done 37 in a row? VogNetwork.com is where we are. We are on the chat page is right there on the front page of VOG Network right now. And you can listen to us on the feed there or using your favorite Shoutcast player. Many a ways that you can listen to VogNetwork.com. And unfortunately, it seems like a quarter of them don't work. I don't know why. We haven't figured out why. But a little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word. And our toll-free number is 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can contact me by my website, BobbyBlackwolf.com. So the big game that came out that I have not played because I did not buy, which is actually a good thing, I guess, Diablo 3 came out this week. Yes, I know Max Payne 3 also came out this week, but Max Payne 3 didn't have a bunch of embarrassing stories related to it, so I'm not going to be talking about Max Payne 3. I'm going to be talking about Diablo 3 a little bit here. And, you know, we'll get to the fun part in a second, but, you know, this was a story that I thought was going to be kind of like the big oops moment. And this didn't, the game hadn't even come out yet. This came out Monday when this story, and it's not about anybody here in America or anybody in the UK or it actually involves our friends down under where, the water flows in the opposite direction and kangaroos hop on Paul Hogan's head. I don't know. Australia. Gamers had a bit of a scare. Games Industry reports that Game Australia, which is a retail chain, has followed in the footsteps of its UK counterpart and went into voluntary administration, which is kind of like bankruptcy. Kate Warwick of appointed administrator PricewaterhouseCoopers told Polygon, quote, "Initially, we will continue to trade all stores operating these as close to a business-as-usual mode as possible whilst we get a clearer understanding of the current state of the business and actively pursue options to secure its future. Prior to our appointment, the company's management had been exploring interest in investing in the business with a number of parties, and we will look to see whether this interest can be harnessed to continue the business or part of it through the voluntary administration process," unquote. So what does this have to do with the gamers? Because that's a whole bunch of corporate financial speak. The problem is they did this the day before Diablo 3 was supposed to be shipped to stores. And Game Australia customers received a text message that stated not only would Game Australia not be able to stock Diablo 3 or Max Payne 3, making any pre-orders void, it would not refund those customers that had already put down deposits. It was later confirmed by a FAQ made available for the customers. It says, quote, "We are not able to refund customer deposits, and customers who have paid a deposit for a pre-ordered item at this stage should continue to monitor the website for further updates," unquote. So basically what they would have to do is they would become unsecured creditors, and Game Australia would actually owe these people money, and they would have to go through the creditor system to get back. If they paid Diablo 3 in full, they would have to go through the creditor system to get that money back. And there's a long line of companies that are creditors that are secured. So they'll get the money first from Game, and then the unsecured creditors would be all at the bottom of the list. So chances are they would not get their $10 to $60 back. So this was going to suck for all the people that, you know, paid for Diablo 3 in full 4 years ago, back when we thought rainbows and unicorns, or rain cones and unibows, whatever, when we thought they were going to be in the game. All those people that plunked down in full to get the limited edition, collector's edition, not only do they not get their game that they have had pre-ordered for years, they don't even get their money back. So what happened? Well, Kotaku reports that Blizzard will actually be footing the bill for those at Game Australia. The company issued a statement that basically says, quote, if you kept your receipt, which I don't, buy the game again and we'll give you your lost money back, unquote. So basically what they're saying is buy the digital version of Diablo 3 before May 20th, 2012, which is tomorrow. Download and start playing when the servers go live. That's kind of funny. Then you submit your Game Australia pre-order or pre-purchase receipt before June 30th, 2012. Then you'll receive a credit from Blizzard for the amount you paid in advance to Game Australia for Diablo 3. This credit will be applied to the payment method used for the digital purchase. So if you bought on Origin with the credit card, they would refund your credit card however much you paid, either it being, you know, if you only put $10 down, you'll get a $10 credit on your credit card. So basically, everybody's like, oh, Blizzard's giving them a free game. No, they're giving them the game that they're paying for. The problem is Blizzard's not going to get the... And actually, Blizzard still gets their money, but then they give it right back to you. So you're still getting what you paid for, but Blizzard stepped up to the plate when Game Australia couldn't because of administration laws in Australia. And Blizzard stepped up to the plate and said, you know what, we still want you to be able to play on May 15th, so we're going to promise to refund your money if you kept your receipt. What Up G says, it's already May 20th, 21st down under, so if you live in Australia and you're listening live, you're already out of luck. But good for Blizzard for stepping up and doing that, because they wanted people to be able to play the game when the servers went up on May 15th. Which didn't exactly happen that way. And I have not even purchased the game yet. But I was in that one weekend that open beta test, and I came across error 37 in a row multiple times during that open beta test. And I mean, you know, somebody was saying, you know, we got to give Blizzard a little bit of slack here because they've never really released a huge online game before. The sarcasm is dripping on that statement. So your single-player game that is, for reasons that they state, for because of the Real Money Auction House, which is not up, requires an always-on internet connection to the Blizzard servers, to the Battle.net servers. For your single-player game, it took some people days to defeat the Error 37 boss just to get to character creation. From what I understand, some people still have not played the game. Like, it's still that bad to play a single-player game. Now, I mean, obviously, this is for DRM purposes, is why they're doing it. You know, they're kind of saying, it's because of the Real Money Auction House, and we want to preserve the integrity of the items, and, you know, we don't want people to dupe and all that stuff. They shot themselves in the foot, because a lot of people are really upset over, you know, they've waited so long to play Diablo 3. They've, you know, because Diablo 2 came out, like, a millennia ago. Like, I'm not sure if Duke Nukem Forever was being worked on when Diablo 2 came out. That's how long it's been since a Diablo game came out. And so they finally get it, and they've, you know, for those that were, you know, paid for the limited edition, it was a nice Error 37 paperweight for a long time. Dungeon Buster says, I haven't picked up Diablo 3, and it's still looking like I won't. I am going to pick it up eventually, probably when they, you know, fix these servers, I think. I usually say I'm going to wait till it drops in price, but Blizzard games tend to not drop in price. I think StarCraft II is still to this day $60. It'll be a while, though, because I'm not going to want to buy a single-player game and then not be able to play it because they can't keep their servers. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, obviously Blizzard has never released an online, a big, huge online game, eagerly anticipated online game before. So we should cut them a little bit of slack. Having 978 does point out the World of Warcraft's launch days were rough. Everybody's launch days are rough, actually. So, I mean, this is the first time that a launch day of a single-player game has been this rough. And that's the thing that gets me. It's a single-player game. Welcome to the future, ladies and gentlemen. Sky Rob Roberts in chat says, StarCraft II went on sale around the holidays. Your best chance for a price cut will be on Black Friday. Don't count on more than $10 off. Can I get $37 off in a row? Gamer Girl says that she always keeps her receipts, especially if it's coming from the Evil G, because their used stuff sucks. She got sucker punched by the Evil G when she reserved a few games, and they're all given away to other customers, like Zelda Twilight Princess and Oregon Trail. And I've seen that they'll do that, is that, you know, if you didn't reserve the game, sometimes they'll just dip into that reserve bucket and just, you know, tell the person, oh, sorry, you didn't pick it up soon enough. Depends on how long you wait, though. So what I played this week, other than Diablo, I didn't play Diablo 3, but I actually did get into Minecraft a little bit more. I actually did purchase it on Xbox Live, so it's the 360 version of Minecraft, and I am not somebody who has played Minecraft at all on the PC. So this is really my first Minecraft experience, and I can see, for the people that are into Legos, I can see where they like this. It's got some bugs in it. And what's sad is that in Minecraft 360, some of the bugs are bugs that have already been patched in the PC version. But the 360 version is several versions behind, and it's got there are several features in the PC version that have not been implemented yet, which is fun trying to go through like all the huge wikis and the very detailed stuff about, you know, how to do things in Minecraft, and they're all talking about things like enchantments that don't exist, or NPC villages that don't exist, or water that actually works, which doesn't exist. But there's going to be some updates, free updates to it. So we'll be catching up in a little bit, and they're apparently adding Kinect support. But essentially, Minecraft is basically it's a large Lego world where you have to go dig for blocks and get extremely frustrated every time you die because they decided that you really needed monsters to spawn in any dark area, which is either nighttime outside or down in the caverns. Now, I got around this because I'm a wuss, and I play on what's called peaceful mode, which still has the stupid day-night cycle, but no monsters spawn. So I can mine in relative peace. Now, there are some objects I can't make because I'm not playing on an harder difficulty mode. Because, like, you can't get bones unless you kill a skeleton that's trying to kill you. And the skeleton only shows up in actual difficulty modes that have monsters in them and not peaceful. You can change the difficulty mode, but you have to, like, exit out of the game and go in and stuff like that. You can play with other people. I actually went in and hung out in Loki's world. He actually made, both him and Rob, made worlds with the seed Vog. So they both have the same Vog world, and I was exploring around in Loki's, and we were doing things together and, you know, watching him kill things while I sat back with my little wooden sword and cheered him on. And that was kind of fun, but I mean, really, all we were doing at that point where we were just mining and looking around and trying to find blocks that were not stone. So I can see that if you don't have a plan of something like you want to build, I can see Minecraft kind of, you know, the allure of it will leave pretty quickly because there's no game element to it, there's no goal. I mean, it's basically you go out and, you know, in dark places, zombies and creepers and skeletons will come and spiders and stuff will come after you, and there's Minecraft right there. Apparently, the PC version is actually adding an adventure mode where you actually have a quest. It is interesting. It is fun to play around with a little bit. If you're not really into Legos, it's not going to be really worth the $20 on the Xbox 360, which is cheaper than the PC version. But if you're curious as to what it is and you have the 1600 space bucks to burn, you may actually really like it. You can do a lot in it. You can make a lot of neat stuff in it. But, you know, you can't use mods, you can't use cheats or anything like that. So you're going to be playing Minecraft the way it was intended and getting frustrated. Now, one thing I do want to say to help people out, because I looked this up, And because this happened to me a couple times in Minecraft 360, you can actually build a bed. And so if you build a bed, theoretically at night you can sleep in the bed and then you wake up the next day. And you need to make sure like you're in a lit area and the door is closed and all that stuff, and you should be able to sleep peacefully through the night. That's a lie in some cases. What wound up happening to me is I would, you know, build my little tiny house, light it up with a bunch of torches. That way nobody spawns inside the house, and I have the house is entirely closed in, doors closed and everything. And then I will wake up to a zombie hitting me. He'd be on top of my bed hitting me like a bad nightmare. And it was terrible. I would face 37 of these in a row, and it would suck because I'd, you know, kill them and then go back to bed, and there would be another one. It turns out, if you put the bed next to a wall, there's a bug, and zombies will spawn on top of you. So if you're playing Minecraft 360 and you're wondering when you go to sleep, why am I still seeing zombies on top of me when I'm trying to sleep, and I've done everything I'm supposed to, lit up the room, closed all the doors, made sure, you know, I don't have double doors and anything like that. Move the bed away from the wall. Put it in the middle of the room. Don't put it next to the side of the room. Breakman says, that sounds like Ultima Online. Minecraft actually looks a little bit like Ultima Online, too. Continuing on with Cynical Bobby, because people in chat apparently like Cynical Bobby. This is me kind of pointing and laughing at one of my least favorite companies in the gaming space. Not the worst company in the world or anything like that. But this is just kind of interesting. About the big IPOs that came out this week. Develop reports that the hottest IPO of the year turns cold as shares close $4 south of open. In an unexpected twist of fate, Facebook share price has closed at $38.23, well below the average target of $41.50 set by analysts. The highly anticipated IPO for the social media company launched on that day, opening at $42.05, $4 above the set price. And as the day continued, initial fluctuations turned into a slow descent, finally driving down the initial asking price of $38 before bouncing back at close. Now, we're not here to laugh at Facebook, because they're going to be just fine, and you know Zuckerberg got married and everything. Though the reasons for the poor performance are unclear, the social games company Zynga took huge losses and closed at the record low of $7.16. Though the dive in Zynga stock seems to have been caused by investors jumping to get on board the IPO, it may be that the poor fortunes of a company reported to furnish 12% of Facebook's revenues raised doubts about the health of the relationship. And also, what's interesting about this is that they panicked so much, they closed trading on Zynga. You could not buy or sell Zynga stock. They froze it because they were scared that it would drop further. That's what happens when you base your entire business model on one other company. When that one other company has some kind of pitfall, you're going to take the same pitfall, even if it wasn't your fault or not. Brickman says, so Zynga can't make their own Wall Street. I'm sure that they have Wall Streetville somehow in their portfolio, just waiting to be brought out. But really, I mean, Zynga's been trying to kind of do its own thing outside of Facebook, because they rely so much on Facebook. And even in, you know, some of their early investor calls, we talked about it here on the show at the time, Zynga is so totally dependent on Facebook. If Facebook just went offline, Zynga would be screwed. And so they are actually trying to take steps to, you know, not remove themselves from Facebook, but not rely so much on Facebook for their revenues. And this stock thing is just a very good reminder of that. Ronma in chat says, meanwhile, Rob Roberts is sitting in his chair, scratching his beard, petting his cat, saying, excellent, upon knowing the fall of Zynga on the stock market. I believe that is the case. I believe that is exactly what's happening right now. I believe Rob Roberts had a little tiny smirk on his face. Maybe not a full smile. It might have been a half smile up on the side of his face, chuckling at the evil Z. So let's move back to the East Coast instead of talking about those California companies. And you've probably heard a little bit about this, and you know, you know that you've heard the headlines and you've heard the sensationalist talk and all that stuff. And so I'll kind of let you in on what the deal actually is. There's been some very good, very long articles written that actually delve into this, and it is probably what you think. But this is about a baseball player who loved MMOs and wanted to create an MMO that changed the world. And this is his story. That man is former Boston Red Sox pitcher Curt Schilling, who was really, really into EverQuest when I was playing EverQuest, which is like back in the dark ages, back, you know, when we had dial-up, and I was playing EverQuest over dial-up. He was really into it. There were stories back then, and it was the first time anybody had ever heard of EverQuest was, you know, when he and somebody on another team were actually in the same guild on EverQuest, and, you know, when they actually faced each other at the plate, you know, he kind of threw some close balls in and stuff, and he actually said, oh, that was because he left me behind in Blackboro or something like that. That's what kind of entrenched EverQuest into the, you know, public subconsciousness. And that's why we all thought that EverQuest was going to be the 800-pound gorilla of online gaming. I mean, it had like 800,000 subscribers. 800,000. Nobody is going to get more than 800,000 subscribers to their online game. Nobody. We were sure of it. And we really laughed when that RTS developer said they were going to make an MMO. And we're like, yeah, good luck with that. You guys aren't going anywhere with it. Oops. Anyway, so he loved EverQuest. And then he also loved that RTS developer's MMO, World of Warcraft. So he decided when he retired from baseball that he wanted to make an MMO. And so he founded Green Monster Games in 2006, which changed the name in 2007 to 38 Studios, which is, by the way, his jersey number. That's where the 38 comes from. His goal was not just to build a game, but to change the landscape of online gaming. The company's motto was, if you can't do it better than it's ever been done before, work for someone else. You could go work for the Evil Z if you wanted. So as time goes on, they acquired a game company, Big Huge Games. They were a game developer in 2009. They were the developer of Rise of Nations for THQ. And so what they did is they, Big Huge Game was working on a game, and they decided to put it in the universe of their MMO. And that became the recently released, I don't know if, the critics really didn't like it too much, Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning. And that was developed by Big Huge Games. They were working on that engine before the acquisition by 38 Studios, and then they just put it, put the Amalur world into that engine and made that game. So they're chugging along and working on their big MMO, which is called Copernicus. And on the surface, everything was coming together. There was an all-star team of big-name, talented creators. You know, they were pulling from EverQuest. They were pulling from World of Warcraft. They were pulling from everywhere. But behind the scenes, the company was so in need of cash, Schilling himself had invested $35 million of his own money in a row into the company, according to a Reuters report, and he was having trouble finding backers. But then he ran into Donald Carcieri, who was then at the time governor of the state of Rhode Island, which is a state, by the way. It's small, but it's a state. At a fundraiser, and the two began talking about relocating 38 Studios to Rhode Island. The idea was to entice 38 Studios to Rhode Island with a loan guarantee as part of a new state initiative created to help bring new jobs to the state. The deal would have had the state signing on as a guarantor on a $75 million loan. In exchange, they would relocate to Rhode Island and over the course of 3 years create 450 new jobs. This was in July 2010. They got the state provided that loan guarantee. But they only 38 Studios only got $51 million of it, $13 million at closing, and then the remaining $38 million set to be distributed over the next 15 months based on job creation milestones in the company, landing a distribution deal for their massively multiplayer online game, Copernicus. Eventually, 38 Studios is meant to pay the Economic Development Corporation $15 to $18 million in success fees. So they have to provide 125 full-time jobs in Rhode Island within a year of November 2010. Another 175 jobs need to be provided by November 2012, and the final 150 by 2013. For every job they fail to provide, the deadline, 38 Studios has to pay $7,500 a year in a row. 38 Studios had to pay, the commitment fee of $375,000, blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of stuff. But on May 1st of this year, after receiving about $50 million of that money from the state and creating at least 250 jobs, 38 Studios told Rhode Island that they couldn't make their first full payment of $1.125 million. After missing the payment, Schilling told the board that his studio doesn't have the money to pay their employees. So all those people with the jobs, they don't get a paycheck now. On Thursday, the company hand-delivered a check to the Economic Development Corporation to cover their late payment. Then in about-face, the studio said they couldn't cover the check. So they sent a balanced check to the state of Rhode Island. On Wednesday, longtime head of the corporation, Keith Stokes, abruptly resigned. Sources tell Polygon that the resignation was the outcome of a deal between the governor's office and Stokes. He declined to comment on the 38 Studios deal or his resignation, said offering up a quote from William Faulkner to the media, quote, "All of us failed to match our dreams of perfection," unquote. In a Friday afternoon press conference, Governor Chafee, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, said that the studio had turned in a check and the check cleared. He also said the state is working sure to make sure the studio succeeds. He also told the press conference, and this is actually kind of the kind of most absurd moment of this, he announced the release date for an MMO. So I think this is the first time that a sitting governor of a United States state announced a release date of a video game. That's got to be a history book thing somewhere. So Copernicus, set to release June of 2013. Kurt Schilling wants it to change the face of online gaming. Just like Kingdom of Amalur: Reckoning changed the face of whatever it was. Now, one thing that I do want to note, a lot of people is like, oh, the Kingdom of Amalur Reckoning developer is in trouble. That's Big Huge Games. They were purchased, they have been acquired by 38 Studios, but 38 Studios, the actual development team in Rhode Island, did not make Kingdom of Amalur Reckoning. Although some people are now calling it Kingdom of Rhode Island Reckoning, because then the taxpayers of the big thing that's going on here is that if they can't repay the loan, the taxpayers of the state of Rhode Island will be paying back the loan money. They will be on the hook. So obviously, the constituency there is furious about this deal with the video game company. And the thing that kind of worries me about it is that this is going to really shy governments, local and state governments, to shy them away from supporting the video game industry, because this is such a volatile market. Trying to do a creative product like this, I know here in Georgia there's tax breaks. I don't think we do actually loans to people, but we do have tax breaks up to 30% for any entertainment company, video game, film, television. That's why we have so many things being filmed here now. 30% tax break for anything done in Georgia, and that they recently extended the deal for the video game companies in Georgia, and there was actually some talk, I think they were looking at the Rhode Island situation, that they may not extend it for video games. But they wound up doing that. But I wonder what this is going to do to try to, you know, how this is going to affect video game companies trying to get assistance from the government. Kazan says, Schilling overhypes worse than Peter Molyneux. Breakman, though, says, no one can overhype like Peter Molyneux. He's toned down, though. He's kind of Peter's learned his lesson, I think, a little bit. He just gets excited, and is. This is a tangent, I know, but Peter Molyneux, I've actually met him, and his excitement is infectious. Like it's genuine excitement, and that's when he has the loose lips, and that's what gets him in trouble. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll take your calls on the dime of the state of Rhode Island, I guess. I don't know. But you could talk about anything, or you could tell me if you've actually been able to get past the Error 37 boss and actually play the game. You're listening to The Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com.
When I'm not putting a hit on the drongos, I'm listening to The Bobby Blackwell Show. He's a right cobber, mate.
The Sniper from Team Fortress 2 has a bumper. That was that John Patrick Lowry, voice actor, amazing voice actor. He left that for me when I've interviewed him at Siege last year. You can find the archive. It was an awesome interview. If you want to leave a bumper, you can either send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers at BobbyBlackwolf.com, or you can leave a voicemail on the toll-free number. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out the service. You can get a 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep, even if you cancel before the trial is over. I actually got an email from them. They said that the big audiobook that they're pushing in the gaming scene this week is Diablo III: The Order by Nate Kenyon. So what you can do, you can actually make Diablo 3 The Order your free audiobook that you can listen to while you're constantly refreshing Diablo 3 to try to get in. So you can make that your free audiobook, Diablo 3 The Order by Nate Kenyon. All you have to do is you go to audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. So it is time to open up the phone lines for anybody that wants to call in. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Breakman asks, what's a right cobber? You'd have to ask somebody who ordered something from Game Australia. They may tell you. They may be right clobbering some high executives at Game Australia. I don't know. So we do have a call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is X-Link.
X-Link, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? Long time.
Long time no see. What's going on?
Hey, no much. First off, congratulations for the Bog Network.
Thank you.
It's been an awesome experience so far. I've been listening behind the scenes, actually doing a lot of other stuff. I'd like to talk just a little bit about Diablo 3.
Okay.
I had played it. I did not play it on the first day because I knew there was going to be some kind of Blizzard-type error-type things going to happen because of so many people wanted to play the game and the fact that they gave away so many copies to people who had the annual pass for people like me who got it for free, so I didn't really have to pay for the game. I knew there was going to probably be some kind of crashing or some kind of erroring going on. It's typical normal Blizzard stuff. I just didn't know how severe or how bad it was going to be. And so I personally, since I worked during the day, I had it downloaded the night before I went to work. And, of course, I come home and I start reading reports about the Error 37 and all this. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to play something else. I'm going to give it a day or two, let it all calm down, let them fix out whatever problems they had that was bugging them at the time. And then from there, go ahead and start playing the game and actually enjoying it. Well, of course, as we all knew, within a day or two, they figured out what it was causing the Error 37s, and they got that all fixed, and soon enough, I started playing as of early this weekend. I'm not as far as most people are. I know a lot of people get done within, say, 6 or 7 hours, going hardcore, just going through, don't care about the storyline, just trying to go through all the acts and just get to the end and whatnot. As a matter of fact, I have two of my friends who did spend time who went through, and now they're on Nightmare, but it is kind of cool to see all the improvements and what they did to it. It has been a lot of fun with less errors.
Okay, so the question that I have.
Yes.
This is the main question.
Okay.
Are there rainbows and unicorns in the final game? Because that was the big issue that everybody had like 4 or 5 years ago when the first screenshot came out.
Okay. If anybody does not want to hear this, go ahead and hit your mute button right now. I'm going to give about 5 seconds for this.
All right.
Bobby?
Yeah?
Yes, there is.
Sweet!
Yes. It is like, how can I put it, My Little Pony-ish type cartoonish, fluffy cloud, Disney type style. You just wanted to just go in there and destroy everything.
Excellent.
But yes, there is clouds and unicorns to destroy.
Yes.
In fact, they do have achievement for that. So that's not really taking it all away, but I just don't want to give it away too much if anybody really wanted to know about that. So
excellent. Because, I mean, that was the worry. That was the big worry that everybody had. Oh, my God, there's some color on this screen. The only colors you should see are gray, brown, and red. And, oh, my God, that's blue. What's that blue doing?
That's basically their version of the cow of the cow one from Diablo 2. Actually, there's the cow king. You have to play the game through almost once, and then once you get all the different parts and the plans for the staff, it's called the Staff of Herding. Then you take it back to him, and once you take it back to him, then that would activate that secret level to come to go into play. So. It is a lot of fun, from what I understand, because to my friends who went to in the hardcore mode now are playing that, and they're talking about how much fun that was. But yeah, on Curse's Diablo site, Diablo fans, yeah, they did break that news. They did let people know of how to get it, what items were needed to be used to get the item to make that happen, and how to go by doing it. Because when you play through the first act, not, this is not a spoiler or anything, you can't pick up random, it's all random, of course, because everything's random in the game. You can pick up from a set of mushrooms, a black mushroom, which was referenced to the quest line from the very first Diablo. And people are like always asking me, and even I didn't even know the answer at the time. They're like, hey, what is this black mushroom? Why are we getting this? What is this for? I'm like, I have no idea. I don't have a strategy guide. I have no idea whatsoever. And then finally, luckily, the day after that, that's when they leaked all that information for that. So saying, okay, the black mushroom, that is part of the legend. That's part of the quest for the staff for that hidden level. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, that makes more sense then, why they have that in the game. I thought they may have it in there just for nostalgia reasons or whatnot. So,
I hope that soon I will be covering the lawsuits that the gamers are going to be filing against the FTC and the BBB. Upset about the existence of color in Diablo 3 because to them it shouldn't be in there.
No, they did a really good job of trying to of keeping that being the only thing in there. So other than that, they did a really, really good job. Everything's really sharp. It looks really great. I've been playing out low because unfortunately my graphic card is not all really all that. Unfortunately, I'm on a laptop, but I've still been able to enjoy the game nonetheless. So.
Well, cool.
With the cheesy voice, I think so.
Yeah, I'm glad you're able to enjoy it. I know that a lot of people have been frustrated, and you know it sounds like you did the right thing by waiting.
Yeah, if your graphic card too is coming up saying that you can't play it, a lot of times make sure you can go in the game. Make sure you can play it low. Make sure your graphic cards are updated, especially if you have certain ones. There's been certain patches for said drivers. I'm not going to get into all that tonight, but. You can pretty much look it up and figure it out on your own.
And,
so.
Yeah, and also I did hear that like if that message comes up for you, sometimes you can hit escape and still get in.
Correct.
And also I think that one, like the ATI Catalyst drivers actually introduced a bug.
Yes,
it was
did.
Like I think the 12.4. Yeah,
14. It's 14. Point. It's 14.2A, I believe it was. So, yeah. If I remember correctly, so. Yeah, I had to do that one, unfortunately, because, yeah, you would go in a game, you see a lot of green dots and splotches everywhere. It doesn't look quite right. And my friends were like, oh, I see a bunch of green dots. And I'm like, okay, well, go in here. And I asked him what he had. Of course, he had Catalyst. And I'm like, okay, well, here's a link for the Catalyst website. I said, they actually introduced a patch for that. And
yeah.
He downloaded a patch, and he said, thank you so much. It works fine now. He works great. So he goes, I didn't realize that. And I'm like, yeah, not a lot of people did at the time. So.
But I bet it runs awesome on that $999, GeForce 830 card or whatever that just came out. I bet it runs awesome on that.
I would hope so, because if not, then there's going to be an issue. So,
all right. Anything else on your mind?
Nope, that's pretty much about it. I know you probably want to hear just a little bit about Diablo 3 and about the fuzzy unicorns and whatnot.
Excellent.
So.
I can't wait to slay unicorns. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thanks, Bobby.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free on North America. Tiger Claw says, what are they against people of color? Obviously, it's been a while, but essentially what I'm referencing there is that some of the early screenshots of Diablo 3, about like 4 or 5 years ago, were released, and they actually had like these outdoor areas. Green, there was a rainbow in one of them, and everybody's like, this is not Diablo. This is crap. What are you doing to my Diablo? And that's what they were filing petitions, upset about the art style. That's what I'm referencing. We have another call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, it's Blender, bud.
Blender, what's up, man?
Nothing. You guys got me hooked up. Rob hooked me up with a link. I can get the show now.
Oh, excellent.
On PS3, yeah.
Excellent. I'll have to have him send me that link so I can tell other people.
Yeah, it's ps3radio.com. co.uk.
Ah.
You just search VOG Network, and I can hear it. It's a pain in the butt to switch back and forth between the chat and the audio, but yeah, it works. It works. I can hear you just fine.
Excellent. Oh, I'm glad it works for somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, about time.
So, yeah. So what's up, man?
Nothing. I just wanted to call in to say that, and I'm glad that I can hear the show again.
Yes.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that player. Basically, what he's referencing, everybody, is on VogNetwork.com. We actually, I'm trying this new HTML5-based internet player for our stream, and it works for like 75% of people. And the other 25%, I mean, some people, I think they're using, some Chrome users, PS3 users, Android users, it doesn't work. But iPhone users, it works beautifully. Firefox and Internet Explorer works beautifully. So it's kind of hard for me to trace down all the places it doesn't work. And I thought since it's not Flash, it should work. And I was wrong.
Yeah. It works great. There's a delay when I switch between chat and back into the actual podcast, but, you know, because it freezes it
right
at the time. But it works. I can hear it. I'm watching. I got my PS3 on. I'm sitting here in chat, and I'm also listening to the audio.
Excellent. Well, I am glad to hear it.
Yeah. There was one other thing I wanted to hit on. I can't remember exactly.
Diablo 3?
No.
Kingdom of Amalur Reckoning?
No.
Minecraft?
No.
Laughing at Zynga?
The first part of the show, because I couldn't hear it.
Laughing at Zynga?
Yeah, Zynga. Ha ha.
Zynga got a new home space in PlayStation Home?
Did they?
I don't know. I was going to ask you.
No.
That was a question.
No. The only new thing that's been going on is, they opened the Midway 3 on there, which is kind of fun. And they have like $25,000 worth of cash and prizes if you buy tickets to play the game. When you play, if you spend one ticket on a game, you get entered in a contest. So.
Well, thanks for your call,
right,
man.
Buddy. I'm glad I get to hear the show again.
Yeah, I am too.
All right. Take care.
So that's it. That's all the calls I'm going to take tonight because it is time for us to move on to the next show that's going to be coming on right here on VogNetwork.com. It is Orange Lounge Radio. It is, I think there's three people in the studio. It's not the same three people. But they're out there in Sacramento, California, and they talk about games for much longer than I do, and so we like to check in with them. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Bobby, how are you?
I am doing good. Apparently people can find the stream now. This is great.
I know. We've been trying to brainstorm in our chat room at the VogNetwork.com, I think it's been helping. A lot of listeners helping other listeners. I had no idea. Rama posted a link to some, what was it? And you'll have to excuse me. I didn't fully hear the last call because I was welcoming our guest into studio. Mm-hmm. But I saw Rama's website, ps3radio.co.uk, and apparently I wouldn't have even thought to use something like that, and it seems to work very well.
Yeah, and that was Blender just called because he's the one he's on a PS3. Unfortunately, his computer died.
Yeah.
So all he has is a PS3, and so unfortunately our player doesn't work on the PS3.
And isn't it ironic that the PlayStation 3 is almost a better computer than probably anybody's computer sitting in their office?
The problem, though, with the PlayStation 3 browser is that they have only allocated 256 meg of memory PS3 browser.
Why are the browsers on all the devices so terrible? I mean, the PlayStation 3 is sadly probably the best one. If you ever really try to browse the internet on the Wii, it's kind of sad. And then the DS one, not much better, which is kind of unforgivable. The Vita one's all right, I guess, as far as new systems go. I mean, since the bar's set so low.
But I mean, that's just the thing is I don't know why they've allowed that little bit of memory. And then, like, PlayStation.com crashes the browser because it needs more than 256 mega memory to run.
Now, that's ironic.
You would think that they would kind of pass that.
Yeah, you'd think.
Well, maybe if these rumors are true and the 360 is going to add, I mean, I seem to remember Blender specifically was a bit of a Sony guy, so he probably didn't even have an Xbox, but I think for others who may have the 360, hopefully, fingers and toes crossed, if we do get this internet browser out of E3, it'll be a decent one. I mean, you might hate Internet Explorer a lot, but Internet Explorer will whoop any of these browsers' systems so far. I mean, I'll take it. At least the VOG player plays on Internet Explorer.
Yes. So hopefully it'll support HTML5 on the 360, hopefully. But we'll see. So you guys got a special guest tonight because I think Jamie's off making me jealous by going to Disneyland.
Well, she's on her way back from Disneyland. So you don't have to be too jealous. In fact, if you want your Dark Sakura update, I just got a text message from her. We're on our way back. We are somewhere between Bakersfield and Fresno. So now's not the time to be jealous of her.
Okay.
But yes, our good buddy Flacco Jones, or Jim, is joining us tonight in studio. If you've listened to Horde House, you might recognize the name. The OLR listeners may not know him, but you can say hi. It's okay.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi.
But he does kind of have a little bit of a connection, just a little bit, to something that a lot of the OLR fans really like. So we're going to talk about it a little bit because, you know, I got to grill them on that stuff. So we're going to talk about it.
So I talked a little bit about the Evil Z And I am sure that you were cackling and stroking your cat and laughing maniacally when you heard about their stock.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of sad what's happening to all the tech stock. I mean, I thought, you know, if I knew how to invest in the stock market and buy all these shares and all this stuff, which I'm sure the chatter is going to be like, you idiot, it's easy. But or maybe I should put, if I could access E-Trade more efficiently from, like, work or phone.
I was about to say, if a baby can use E-Trade from his crib, even after his mom takes away his smartphone, you should be able to use E-Trade.
I was seriously thinking about buying some Facebook stock because I was like, well, shoot, they're going to sell it at like $30 a share. And then what? Google goes for like $600 a share now. I want a piece of that. But it didn't work out so well on Friday. It was up like $7 and then it flatlined where it was at, which had this interesting ripple effect on all the technology companies. Now, I'm not, you know, I will say that I'm a gaming industry analyst to a point. I'm not going to offer any type of financial investment advice because that is not my area of expertise. I just found that to be interesting that, you know, what Facebook was only doing okay or really below average at was really making all these other companies suffer. And it wasn't just companies like Zynga, but companies like LinkedIn, who their only connection to Facebook is that it's heavily inspired by Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, but LinkedIn is such a different type of website, but they took a big hit on Friday. So it's interesting.
So yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see, you know, because see if the tech stocks, the bubble bursts again.
If
the social media, the web 2.0 bubble will burst.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
We're and by the way, somebody was asking earlier if we're getting a success, if we have to pay a success fee for Vogue. We don't.
We're success fee?
Yeah, we're talking about the 38 Studios deal with Rhode Island.
Oh,
and yeah. if the game that they were making is successful, they actually had to pay a fee to the state.
You know, our setup is really interesting because, you know, Bobby's in one state, we're in another. Our server, I don't even know where that's at. Their tech support, certainly not here.
It's somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, so we're a very global company.
Yes. We're a company now? Have we gotten that far yet?
Yeah, I don't know. Sort of. We're like a military company.
There we go.
AOL Army.
Yes. So what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Well, we're going to be talking about some of the games that we've been playing this week. And, you know, this is a year of, I guess you could say, almost changed opinions or revisiting old games because, you know, Mass Effect, I'm talking a lot about on the show lately. Mass Effect was a game I tried probably 4 years ago. I played the first game and I played it for just a little bit. And I was playing, you know, what I now realize was one of the most boring parts of the game where you're driving the vehicle around the planet. And I thought it was stupid. And I was like, I don't get why so many people are into this, but whatever. But I went back and revisited the series.
That's exactly how far I got into it before I got rid of it.
You are missing out because if you can stick with it just a little longer, or just honestly, truly, just skip the damn first game. You really don't need it. Go right to the second and third games, which are just amazing games. And I'm in love with that series now. I still play Mass Effect 3 online. Bobby, I'm playing an Xbox Live game online regularly. What has happened?
Are you playing with randoms, though?
Yes.
Wow.
Right? I play with randoms frequently. Frequently. Wow. And you know why? It's because it's a co-op game. It's not a competitive game. That's true. It changes everybody significantly.
Yeah. See, I've been playing Minecraft. I actually went into Matt's Vogue World.
Mm-hmm.
And we found a dungeon down there, and it was had a lot of zombies in it. And I just like stood back while Loki killed everything with my little wooden sword, just waved it around.
So Minecraft is the game we're going to revisit tonight, and we're going to kind of revisit our opinions on it, and we'll see what's happened and what's changed, if anything, both Matt and myself. So that's coming up. And, of course, news. We have a bit of an exclusive tonight on OLR. I don't know how much more I want to say on that, but this one, I don't know, on a scale of 1 to really big, Loki, how big is this?
I'd say it's pretty big.
I'd say this is pretty big. So stay tuned. That's going to be right after our gaming week, so near the top of OLR. And, of course, we'll be talking a little bit about Wii U rumors as well. Could the trick to selling Wii U's be make the games cheaper? I hope so.
That'd be great.
That would be awesome. So let's hope these rumors are true. These are the rumors that we really want to be true.
And Loki's mic will be on for the show, right?
I'm hope. Because are you muted? Yes, you're muted.
Thanks for muting me, Rob.
Yeah, that's right. Where every gamer has a voice except Loki. So, I'm sorry, on a scale of 1 to very big.
It's pretty big.
It's pretty big.
Pretty big. All right, Orange Lounge Radio is up next here on VogueNetwork.com. Thanks so much, guys.
As always, Bobby. Family show.
So that's it for me. I will be back next Sunday night. Yes, I do understand what weekend it is. I will still be here next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the VOG Network at VOGNetwork.com, so you can catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for use on the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1 or emailing me an MP3 bumpers at BobbyBlackWolf.com. I am on Facebook, Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf is the fan page. I'm on Twitter, Bobby Blackwolf. BobbyBlackWolf.com is the website. VOGNetwork.com is the chat room. There's a lot of stuff coming to it. I'm deep in trying to code all the stuff for it. It's a big undertaking. But if you like this show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. Tell someone about the network as well. Not just myself, not just Orange Lounge Radio, but also Under Sedation Live with Travis and Jessica Saturday nights. It's probably 10 p.m., maybe 11 p.m. Eastern. We're not sure. It depends on how other things go. But Under Sedation Live with Travis and Jessica is Saturday nights here on VOG Network. OLR is up after me. You can find out all that information at VOGNetwork.com and come into the chat anytime during the week. But right now, we could not make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Hecht, Misty, Ronma, Rob Roberts, The Rob D, VXJSNXV, DeBlue Guy, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow Next Gen, Loki, Ari Rockefeller, Bashka, Bob Coffee, Breakman, Burr, Sita Bria, D5T, Duke Nukem, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Eswat, Finest Gamer, Frisbee, Game Guru, Gamer Girl, Geovdia, Blender, JVmon, Kazin, Matt Q, Melta General, MXC, MXT, Porkchop, Raginator, RD Singe, Sita, SSJ100 Matt, Takey, TDB30, Tiger Claw, Toagak, Wyland, What Up G, and Zether. So that is it for me. I will be back. I'll probably be Minecrafting a little bit this week as well, but I'll be back next week. And remember, Error 37 in a row. Did I beat that joke into the ground enough yet?
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.
Can I beat the joke in the ground 37 in a row? Again?